Years ago, I was working as a college pastor. I worked for InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, and I was sitting high up on a ledge in the Colorado Mountains, and I was praying and asking God for some sort of vision. I needed some direction. I needed to hear from God. So I went to the mountaintop to sit and to wait and to listen. Now, to give you some quick background, I was facing a major salary cut as a college pastor due to a lack of funding. I'd been told I was going to have to go part-time. But I still had no desire to resign. I still felt called to remain in that position. And so I was looking for some direction. I wanted to know from God, what am I supposed to do here? And by the way, I was actually living high up in the mountains. I didn't take a trip to the mountains. So I was living up there at a seasonal job for the summer. And so it was just a short hike to the ledge of my choice. And on that day, I waited. And the strangest idea came to me. It went like this. When you leave the mountains, go back to the valley, because my time in the mountains was just about done and I was headed back to Kansas, which is the valley. I want you to go to the corner convenience store and apply for a job there, so that will supplement your income. And now, I quickly dismissed that as just, I don't know why I thought of that. That's no vision from God. That's no big mystery. That's just me thinking crazy thoughts, trying to be practical, and plus I have no desire to work at a convenience store. So I left my ledge, went on with my day-to-day life, didn't think much about it, remember a bit, but didn't think about it. I didn't even tell my wife at the time. Truth be told, I really wanted some sort of mystical experience where God spoke to me this mountaintop word and it came booming and this great vision or word or prophecy or something. And I'd left that ledge thinking, does God really still speak? I mean, why didn't I hear from him? I think he does, but now I don't know. I'm wondering, does God still speak? We're in a series about who is the Holy Spirit and what role does the Holy Spirit play in the life of the follower of Jesus. And today our passage specifically is about how the Holy Spirit will enable us to, listen to this, dream dreams and see visions. And I believed at that time that God was going to give me a vision because I knew this passage that we're about to look at. And I wondered why I didn't get a vision. So let me set the passage up a little bit. And then we're going to read the passage and see if we can make some sort of sense of this dreaming dreams and seeing vision passage. And so just to kind of give you context, Jesus had been crucified, died, risen from the dead, and appeared to many people and had ascended to heaven. So that's the time frame that we're talking about. And before he ascended to heaven, he said to his followers, go to Jerusalem and hang out there and wait, and the Holy Spirit's going to come there. And they're like, yeah, we don't know what that means, but we're going to go. So now we're 40 days after Jesus had ascended to heaven, and there they are, and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they spoke in all these languages, and we called them tongues. And there was this phenomenon there where it was just amazing. And there were people there in Jerusalem from all over the world because there was a festival going on. And at that festival, people would travel from the Middle East, and they would travel from Europe, or what we call the Middle East in Europe, or Africa, or Asia. Some commentators even suggest that the 100,000 population of Jerusalem would swell to like 1 million people during this festival. And so in this upper room, hope you're still with me now, in this upper room, Jesus' closest followers have been praying. And then apparently they left the upper room because they needed more space and more people were gathering around. And they were in this large house. And then suddenly, the scriptures tell us, like the blowing of a wind, a violent wind even, it came, and it came from heaven, they said, and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and rested on each of them. I don't know if you can visualize that. I have a hard time visualizing that, but that's what the passage tells us. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, And they began to speak in other languages because the Holy Spirit enabled them to do that. So the Spirit was moving like this strong, violent wind and like fire. And so there were all these people in Jerusalem who came around and heard this, and they gathered, and then they were amazed and confused because these regular people were speaking their native language. And they said, look, aren't these all Galileans? Which means, aren't they these backwater, small town people? And yet we hear them speaking in our language about the wonderful works of God. And some people said, oh, they're just drunk. Like when you get drunk, you learn another language, right? The people I know who get drunk usually mutter stuff. They don't speak an intelligent language. So Peter, kind of the leader of the church at that time, he stands up and there's other disciples around him, and then he tries to explain to them what's going on, and that's where our passage comes in today. So if you will turn with me to Acts 2 on your tablet, or if you actually have a paper Bible, we'll actually have it on the screen if you didn't bring one of those. Acts 2, verse 14. We're going to look at the passage where Peter tries to explain this phenomenon where the tongues came and the fire came and all this stuff was going on. He tries to explain it. Acts 2, verse 14. Then Peter stood up with the 11, and he raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, so that's all those people who had come around from the other towns. And all of you who live here in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people aren't drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And so then he quotes the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. And your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Let me pray. Lord, what does this passage mean for those people yesterday? Back in the day, and what does this mean for us today? As we unpack this prophecy from Joel and try to understand this Holy Spirit phenomenon, we help something to go from our minds to our hearts, and we take today from us the living word that you've given us. Amen. So, according to this passage, I have an answer to my question when I was up on that mountaintop. Does God still speak to us today? And the answer is, yeah, absolutely. God still speaks to us and through us. Peter says in verse 14, maybe we can pop verse 14 back up there, that he's going to explain this Holy Spirit phenomenon to them. And so then he jumps to verse 17. We'll jump to there if we can. And he quotes the prophet Joel. He says this, in the last days, God promises to pour out his spirit on all people. What's interesting is Joel uses this imagery of this kind of torrential downpour on a parched, dry earth. And it's this generosity of the spirit coming down. And so Peter declares, this is what's happening before your very eyes. So somehow, let's see if you can get this in your mind. There's a parched, dry, cracked earth. And then there's this torrential downpour that just saturates it. And so maybe the metaphor there is we're dry and empty and need to be drenched with the Holy Spirit. So that's the image that Joel has given us here. So let's look a little bit further. Upon whom, I ask the question as I study this, will the Spirit be given? And it becomes pretty obvious. Everyone. No one's left out. Just to make sure, Peter and Joel emphasize that the lower class, the servants, and the women are also included. But the young men are included too, and the children. No one's admitted here. And I think we need to pay attention to that. Because sometimes we think, oh, it's got to be a pastor or someone, or it's not for me. I know a young boy, he's age 12 years old, also named Peter, who corresponds with me. I've never met him, but my mom gave him my name. He lives in Tennessee, and he feels like at an early age, he is called to be a church pastor. At 12 years old, he thinks that. And so he writes me, asking me, what's it like to be a pastor? And he asked me to pray for him. 12 years old. God still speaks to us and through us to all people who have put their trust in him. So what will we do when the Spirit is poured down on us like a parched, dried land? The passage says we will dream dreams and we'll see visions and prophesy. Why didn't I see that when I was on the mountain? Why did God hold that back from me? And verse 21, if we'll pop that up, tells us this. This is the reason why God gives us the prophecy, so that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So this isn't just a phenomenon for the sake of seeing cool, mystical things. It's actually God once again kind of reaching down to us or reaching out to humanity and offering a life like we've never experienced before under his reign. God has a purpose for this, the pouring out of the Spirit and this speaking of words from him so that people will come to know him. God, the Holy Spirit, has prophesied through Joel, and it's now coming upon believers, and the Holy Spirit is given to everyone who puts their trust in Jesus. I want to say that again, because for some of us, that's new news, or possibly refreshing news, or even good news, that if you follow Jesus, if you say, not I'm a Christian, or I go to church, none of the titles, but if you have put your trust in Jesus, God says the Holy Spirit is available to you. God, the Holy Spirit, baptizes every Jesus follower into the body of Christ and empowers and gifts us for ministry and produces fruit of the Spirit in our lives. God still speaks to us and through us today. I know that if you're like me, I tend to think as prophecy as speaking with God's help about something that's maybe in the future. Like, you know, I foretell the future. And prophecy can mean that. But there's a broader definition for prophecy. Prophecy simply, in the broad sense of the word, means that we speak as if God were speaking through us in some way. It might be about the future. It might not be. Prophecy, simply put, is God speaking his word through us. That's it. Now, you may be saying, well, I don't see visions. And what's this dream thing? Well, I mean, is that like literal dreams when we're asleep? God's supposed to be speaking to us through our sleep? And so I looked a little deeper into the passage and learned that the word dream in the original language means that something we see in our mind when we're awake and when we're asleep. And so I have ideas in my mind all the time when I'm awake. But when I'm asleep, I don't know about you, but I hope that most of what I dream about never comes true. It's pretty scary, except for the times when I can fly. I can fly in my dreams, so I wouldn't mind that coming true. But seriously, but it's what it says. It's what the passage says. So what do we make of it? What do I make of dreaming dreams? Several years ago, my wife started having these dreams that would wake her up. She's not here, but I have her permission to share stories about her. She started having these dreams that would wake her up in the middle of the night. And they were so vivid that she sensed that God was putting these ideas, these dreams in her mind to prompt her to pray. I thought that's an interesting interpretation of what's going on. So once or twice a month, she would wake up in the middle of the night and remember that she'd been dreaming about a person or a situation, and so she would just pray. I don't know how long she would pray. I was asleep, you know, but then she would just kind of wander back off to sleep. But soon she began to hear stories from some of these people that she had prayed for, and unbeknownst to her, they needed prayer at that time, or there was a situation that was going on in their life And she had no idea or no knowledge of it. Many of them were hundreds or thousands of miles away. And yet, here she was in the middle of the night, dreaming dreams and waking up and praying for it. So I began to ask God to help me to notice his promptings, whether it was in my dreams or during the day or whatever, because I started thinking, well, if God still speaks, and I believe that he does, then maybe I'm just not paying close enough attention. And, you know, and I'm a quick learner, so a couple of years later, sure enough, it began to happen to me as well. I began to see things in my dreams, and I would wake up, and they'd be so vivid, so I would pray for them. In fact, just 4 weeks ago, I had a woman named Melissa appear in my dream, and shortly after I dreamed about Melissa, I don't even really remember what the dream was about, I woke up, and Melissa was on my mind. So taking a cue from my wife, I prayed for Melissa, and I just kind of fell back to sleep while I was praying for Melissa. The next day I woke up, it was kind of fuzzy, but I remembered what had happened and that I had prayed, so I Facebook messaged to Melissa. I had not spoken to Melissa in probably 2 years. She was a student under my leadership when I was a college pastor with InterVarsity. And she lives in Wisconsin, and I've not seen her or spoken to her in for a while. So on the Facebook message, I just told her, hey, I had a dream about you. I don't know what the dream was, but I just prayed for you. And she wrote back right away. She was blown away. She goes, can I call you? And so she calls me, and she tells me what's going on in her life and how important it was that I prayed for her. In fact, she said, I was thinking about actually reaching out to you because you're always a guy I kind of call when I'm making major life decisions because you always seem to care and help me through those. And here you are being woken up by God to pray for me. What do we make of that? God still speaks to us and through us. I began this morning talking about my time on the mountaintop, desiring to hear this word from God, wondering if God still speaks. Well, when I left my seasonal ministry that was in the mountains and returned literally to the valley, I went to the nearby convenience store and got gas, and this was in the day before you could pay at the pump, so I had to go inside and pay for my gas, and how inconvenient is that, right? And so I went inside, and as I was standing in line, I remembered this idea that I had. And I remembered hearing this crazy idea, get a job at the local convenience store to supplement your income. And so, as I walked up to the cashier at the till and paid for my gas, I said, as unattractively and as mumbly as I could possibly say, because I did not want a job at the convenience store. You're not taking, you don't probably don't need anybody to work here, do you? Something really ridiculous. And she's like, oh my gosh, yes, we do. Do you need a job? I'm like, well, sorta, yeah. Oh, you should apply. You'd love it working here. I'm like, really? And so she says, and guess what? The manager who's never here, or the owner who's never here, is here. He's right over there. Go talk to him. Don't even take the application. Just go talk to him. The short story is, on the spot, the guy hired me and gave me exactly the hours that worked perfectly with my schedule. Fast forward 6 months later. I'd spent the previous 6 months working at the till and in the store with this one particular person, that same woman at the till that day I was there. Her name was Tess. And over the 6 months, we built a friendship and a relationship between us, and I began to share with her about Jesus, about the good news of Jesus in my life and how he made a difference in my life. And I even at one point shared to her that I kind of had this idea, maybe it was a vision, I don't know, to come work here. And she thought that was a bit crazy. But near the end of that 6 months, like 5.5 months in, she decided she wanted to follow Jesus too. I was off at a conference, and I came back from the conference, and two things happened. One, I went back to work to pick up a check, and the owner was there again, probably just the second time I ever saw him there in 6 months. He goes, what happened to you? We thought you quit. I'm like, wait, no, I told, you know, I had someone working for me and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, well, we thought you quit, so we filled your job. You no longer have a job here. I'm like, what? And so then I go home, And my boss from the college ministry calls me and says, hey, guess what? Your funding's up. You can go back full time. And I'm like, coincidence? No. God wanted me to be at that store at that time for tests. And it wasn't convenient, even though it was a convenience store. And I actually didn't like working there at all. But I knew that my mountaintop vision was indeed a word from God, that he had sent me there so that his name could be known to Tess. God still speaks to us and through us today. So if you've put your trust in Jesus and you've decided to follow him, then God's Holy Spirit resides in you. So the question for you, the question for me, is that can we create space for this downpour of God's Holy Spirit on our parched land in ourselves? Can we allow God's space in our life? Are we paying attention? Are we seeking to hear from God? Are we being obedient when we hear something from God? I know that I'm not always obedient. Just about a month ago in my neighborhood, I was walking, it was kind of late at night, and there was a guy in it wasn't a wheelchair, I don't know really what it was, but he was scooting himself along, and he apparently couldn't walk very well. And he asked me if I would help him, and I said, sure, what do you need? And he said, well, you know, I need to go see these people, and they're going to give me some money, but I can't open the gate and get up the steps. So will you just open the gate and knock on the door, and they'll come down and help me? I felt a little uncomfortable, but I, you know, didn't mind. And so I went in and I knocked on the door. No one came. And I went down and said, sorry, is there anything I can do to help you? And he goes, well, will you give me some money? And I said, you know, I don't have any money with me. I don't even have my wallet. You know, he goes, well, I know some other people just around the corner. Will you walk with me? And so I went with them and we opened that gate and went into that door. And someone did open and they said, no, we're not helping him. Bye. And they shut the door. And at the time, I felt prompted by God to pray for this guy. And so, you know, I don't have any money, but could I pray for you? That's what I felt prompted from God to do. But instead, I stood there and watched him kind of roll away and scoot away. And I even knew as he was going away and he was 10 and 20 meters away, I should go after him and pray. And I didn't. I don't always obey when God prompts me to do those things. And I think when I'm that way, I shut down just a little bit. And so the question for us is that can we create space in our life? Will we obey when we hear these promptings? And will we just dismiss them when we think they're just ideas? Or will we follow up and see if God has given us a dream or a vision? And will we obey God in that? God still speaks to us today and through us today. Are we going to create space for that and allow that? That's the question. So what do we make of this passage? And that's my challenge for me and for you today, is that if that's true, and I believe it is, will we create space for that in our lives? Let me pray for you. Lord, it's one thing to talk about this, even believe it. And I'm speaking about myself more than anybody else here in the room. You know the hearts of those here in this room. And it's quite another thing to go out and live it. And sometimes in my life I've been obedient, like the time at the convenience store, and sometimes I've not, like the time just a few weeks ago. But I know that you've got grace and patience with us. And so as each of us consider what step we should take, will you help us to take that step? Will you give us the wisdom, give us the discipline, give us the motivation? And as we do this, can we just stand in awe and watch your Spirit work and speak through us and to us today. And because of the power of your Holy Spirit, we can pray this. Amen.